Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. I'm going to praise Him unceasingly. Why? Because He lives in me. Amen. So good. That's a great hymn. I'm glad we could sing that today. Well, praise the Lord. It's really good to be at the Summer School of Truth. You know, on this time here, every meeting, we go another rung higher. Right? We're not just camping. We are on an expedition. The Lord is leading us up the mountain. Amen. He is leading us to Zion. Hallelujah. So, the Lord, it's so good. You know, each bit of fellowship builds upon the next one. And I was so glad I could be in the meeting last night because I felt like Brother Shepherd's fellowship really prepared the way for me to share what I wanted to share. And I'm only going to share the first portion, and then our brother, Falon, will take the second segment of this session. But it's so good. Amen. The Lord, He has made us in such a particular way. Don't you agree? Yeah. He has made us with three parts. I would like to quickly read 1 Thessalonians 5:23. You may have read this plenty of times. Let's read it one more time. A couple things I want to point out from this verse. And I hope that you would not leave the Summer School of Truth without memorizing at least this verse. It might not be on the sheet, but maybe it's 77 verses or 76 verses. But don't leave here without committing this verse to your memory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. When we've got it, we can go.
Amen.
And the God of peace Himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I hope you caught a couple words there. At least I want to highlight them if they didn't pop out to you. And that is that we would be sanctified wholly, holy, as in complete, right? And even then it says that we'd be preserved complete, right? So I just want to point out, and this is very obvious, but I'm going to say it again. We have three parts. It's not, we drew lines between them, but there's some overlap, you know? Or I should say it this way. One influences another. And as the brother shared from the, and the sister shared from the health committee, or the medical team, or whatever we call them. I'm sorry, medical team. You know, if your BIOS isn't doing well because you're tired or sick, it affects your soul, actually. And actually, your soul can affect your BIOS, right? Sometimes people are sick here, and then they feel sick here, right? And that can happen, too. And all of that, of course, affects our spirit, right? So we are a whole being, and we have to take care of all three parts of our being, lest our experience of the Lord gets compromised, which means how can the Lord fulfill His purpose, right? If our vessel is not filled with Him and expressing Him. You know, we are made in such a wonderful way. You know, I just want to say this. I have two electric powered devices in my hands, okay? Can y'all see that? All right? They both run off of electricity, okay? This is the flashlight. It's not just for illuminating the floor. You can actually use it for communication. Right? That's Morse code. I don't know Morse code. I just know one word in Morse code, which is save my ship. If you only know one word, that's the one to know. But anyways, you can communicate with this thing, but it's limited. Right. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, it's great. It's great for illuminating the path. Actually, this you can do that too in a jam. During the blackout in 2003, I was in the middle of a building. All the power goes out, and I was in a central room. Thank goodness I had a cell phone, and I realized, oh, I can illuminate my path and get out of here. So you can do that too. But this has much greater capacity, right? I just discovered during the last meeting with the brothers that I have an FM radio on here too. It's an app. Now, I don't have to use the church's radio for translation anymore. I can use my phone. Isn't that great? Do you see what I mean? This thing was built, designed with a lot of capacity. It's a GPS too. You're like, yeah, we know that, brother. We know all these things. When did you discover it? But anyways, my point is, there's a lot of sophistication that went into creating this device. And really, it's like that with us. God made us in such a special way, with a lot of capacity, actually. We shared this in the junior high meeting that, you know, some people, when a train is going by, you know, you might have 100 cars in a long freight train, and each car has the serial numbers of the freight car, maybe 6, 7, 8 digits long. And as the train goes by, they can add up the value of all those train cars going by, and at the end, they can tell you the sum. I'm not kidding. That is a fellow human being created by God. You know, they say that the human intellect, we only use on the max 15% of our brain capacity. Maybe 10 to 15. A lot of it's used for like functions like circulation, and neurological responses. Actually, we really don't use very much of our brain. We actually, probably most of us, we just don't even think about it. So when the brothers hand out a sheet of verses to memorize, which is an entire piece, do you have a sheet here? You know, you think, oh my goodness, how can I memorize all those verses? Oh yeah, yeah. There it is. Do you know how long this is? It's one sheet of paper, both sides. Okay, it seems like a lot. I got news for you. The human capacity to memorize is vast. Okay, let's start simple. How about an actor or an actress or an opera singer who has to memorize all of their lines for a 2-hour performance? That's their job. It can be done. They do it all the time. Not only so, in the ancient oral tradition before writing, these great poems like, you know, Homer's Odyssey was all by memory. How many lines do you think were in these poems? I want to see, who thinks it was 1,000 lines? Okay, I saw a hand. Who thinks it was 5,000 lines? Oh, I got a hand, two hands, three. Who thinks it might have been 10,000 lines? Oh, okay. who thinks it might have been 15,000 lines? All by recitation. Okay, we still see some hands going. Who thinks it might have been 30,000? Okay, these guys just know the more I get, the bigger the number gets, and they're going to wait, right? Okay, I won't go over. But the point is, these homework poems were many times 15,000 lines. Then there was narrative. Another 15,000 lines of narrative. So anyways, the human intellect, and the Old Testament, we know. The priests, they were memorizing the first 5 books of the Bible, right? You know which books those are? That's not Titus. That's Genesis, 50 chapters. Exodus, 40 chapters, right? A lot of them. And they memorized it. How did they do that? My point is, we have the ability to memorize. That might come as a shock. Especially, I want to say this, in this generation of this, we don't memorize anymore, basically. We just go, oh yeah, there's a web page. I just have to Google it. I just have to remember one word that gets me to the web page that gets me to the thing I need to know. And when someone comes to their phone, they say, text it to me. I don't want to try to memorize your phone number. People used to memorize phone numbers, but not anymore, right? So anyways, we just don't memorize. But listen, when you memorize a verse from the Bible, it is like downloading an app to your device. It's there for the Spirit to call upon whenever it's needed. Amen. Don't despise what the Lord wants to put into us as cargo, what He wants to put into us in terms of content. Now, one thing you're going to notice is that when Brother Shepherd shares the message, he shares from the beginning to the end, right through the outline. I don't always share like that. So you might be a little lost where I am in the outline, but I am on my burden. Hallelujah. And that is just to say that God has made us in a very particular way. We have to take care of all the parts of our being. We have to take care of our bios. Get enough rest, as the brother said. And, you know, if the brother shared yesterday about, you know, in our experience of the Lord, you know, there's a path that diverges. One goes this way, one goes that way. And who remembers what verse was which up here? Does anyone remember? Which verse was this? Shipwrecked concerning the faith. Why? They thrust away a good conscience and the faith. But the other outcome is a full-grown man at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, all related to the conscience right here. How central and pivotal is our conscience? How practical for each of us, right, to take care of our conscience, right? To always have a conscience void of offense. But God has made us in such a way. And, you know, we are vessels, right? We are vessels, right? How many times have you seen the cup, right? Well, here's another cup. Hallelujah. Because we are vessels. And, you know, a vessel gets filled with something, right? A vessel gets filled with something. Now, as the brothers have shared, a can of Coke is made to contain Coke, right? That's not my burden today. My point is, it gets filled with something. We get constituted with something. I work with a person who is constituted with pop tunes from the 1980s and movies and dramas. And she can just rattle off a line that's appropriate at any point in time. Quotes, you know, famous movies. Yeah, it's just a delight to be around. But that's her constitution. When you touch her, that's what you touch. You touch some band, some movie, right? That's what's in her. She got filled up as a young person with those things, and that's what's there today. I mean, she's still learning new things, but basically, what you get when you're young shapes who you're going to be. And you're young today. Hallelujah. When you get older, you know, it's different. You know, God made us so that when we're young, we can learn. And when we get older, we just mature in the way that we began with the Lord. That's so good to be here. The Lord wants to fill us up with Himself. Amen. Himself is life, and He wants to impart the Word into us. But this matter of the vessel that's so important as young people is, you know, we may have a situation with our mom, right, where she says, "Hey, can you take the garbage out?" You're like, "Oh, I'm right in the middle of the show. We're getting right to the key point or the game. Mom, it's the fourth quarter. They're just about ready to, you know." And that's like a little bit of a nick on our conscience, right? Our vessel gets a little dirty. And maybe the blood of Christ, actually not maybe, definitely the blood of Christ, can cleanse our vessel. But sometimes there are things that we can do that can damage our vessel. You know, maybe some friends want to go do something. Hey, that's really great. We're going to go do this thing. I don't think we should be doing it. Oh, no, it's going to be great. You're going to see. Or maybe someone, you know, a little peer pressure, right, to get someone to try to do something. I still recall, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, I still recall the first time one of my classmates perished because he went out with his friends and they did something. You know, honestly, that was a case like this where that person was diverging, not holding their conscience. They took another path, and eventually, for them, unfortunately, it ended in, you know, a tragic consequence. You know, sometimes we say, "Oh, I've got the blood, it's okay, I can just do this." But sometimes that infraction can, you know, penetrate our vessel. Maybe it's not the same afterwards, right? And then sometimes these consequences are so grave. I just want to say that to you, saints, because you're young, and you're in that time in your life where these kind of things are swirling around. And I just want to arm you with a little bit of knowledge that when that situation starts to come, seek the Lord. Amen. Use your will to stand for the Lord. You know, this matter here, this whole message actually is really about the exercise and the exercise of our will. Because we have a free will. We all know that, right? We all know God made us with a free will. I can choose. Actually, that free will is a key part of God's economy. Because in choosing, we can choose to take care of our conscience. We can choose to exercise our spirit. You know, exercise does not come easy, right? We don't just love exercise. I guess some people like that. But to exercise requires the exercise of our will, to choose to do it. And it's not always fun, right? We don't feel like, oh, yeah, I just want to go work out and get a lot of sweat and, you know, no pain, no gain, right? So there's a little pain involved. Who likes pain, right? But anyways, it requires the exercise. And as the saints have shared, you know, not only does it require the exercise, before you can exercise, you have to believe that the exercise is going to help. Right? I don't remember who it was. Somebody shared about their mom tried to lose some weight and did. Hallelujah! Amen. Right? You got to believe. Sometimes it's like, oh, it's too much. Ah, forget it. I give up, you know? Like that. Then we're defeated. Yeah. Then we don't even exercise our will because we don't believe that it's going to make any difference. Right? I was very, very impressed with, well, anyways, believing is a matter of faith, right? Yeah. We have to believe. And you know, for many years, runners, do we have any runners here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we got runners, right?
Oh, yeah.
How many here can run a 4-minute mile? I don't see any hands out there. Except the brothers who are horse racing. Okay, so the 4-minute mile, as most of you know, was this mental barrier in the human psyche for many years. They believed that nobody could run a mile faster than 4 minutes. It's impossible. Actually, that became like a doctrine almost. And no one could until one day in 1954, Roger Bannister did. All of a sudden, I guess we can run faster than 4 minute mile. He just did it. He proved you can do it. It's possible, right? Now the record is they shaved another 18 seconds off of it, right? 17 people, because of his success, 17 people have gone further. It's possible. We got to believe. We got to believe that we can exercise our will to exercise to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
So this message, it gets into this matter of calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So there's a very powerful footnote in Acts chapter 2, verse 21. I'm actually not going to read it. That would be too long. But I want you to read that in your groups.
Yes.
That footnote outlines the entire history of calling on the name of the Lord.
Wow.
When I came to the church, I didn't grow up in the church. When I came to the church, I noticed people calling on the Lord, actually. It was different. Where I came from, people didn't call on the Lord. So when I saw people saying, oh, Lord Jesus, I was like, that's a little weird. It's a little odd. I was like, okay. And they said, oh, it's really great. You can call on the Lord. I said, oh, that's good for you. That's good. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. Yeah. Anyways, so I didn't really embrace it right away. Then they said, no. Look at all these verses. Look at all these verses about calling on the name of the Lord. It's everywhere in the Bible. I said, that's good. I believe you. But I'm not really want to do it. So they were trying to get me to call on the Lord. Just trying to get you to do it.
Yeah.
Well, I would, you know, if you grew up in the church and you know that we call on the Lord and you go to someone else's, you know, congregational meeting and they don't, you might think, that's kind of a little weird. Why do we do this? Maybe it's a weird thing that we do. Well, not exactly. Actually, I would challenge any of you during this 10 days, which is not 10 anymore because time keeps marching, to find a life practice in the Old and New Testament that is more prominent than calling on the name of the Lord. Find one. And let's fellowship. Actually, calling has been there since very early, since the third generation of man. And it's funny because if Moses writes Genesis, he writes it this way. That's when people started calling on the name of the Lord. And everyone's like, oh, that's when it started, because we do it all the time. Did you ever wonder when people start? Yeah, it was with Enosh. Oh, okay, I got it. Then began men. to call upon the name of the Lord. All the way through the Old Testament, the New Testament, the outpouring of the Spirit in Acts chapter 2 relates back to Joel's prophecy that the Spirit would be poured out on all flesh, male and female. You've got to read it carefully. Male and female servants, and they would all prophesy that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
It's glorious. Yeah. Hallelujah. What a treasure. And then all the way through the New Testament. So anyways, I hope that in your study groups you could get into that footnote. But mainly, I just want to point this out, that calling on the Lord is a very common life practice. It's a way to exercise our spirit. But you might not believe it.
Right.
When the brothers say, hey, let's call, you're like, Oh, Lord Jesus, okay, I did three times. Like it's a magic word or something. And you say, nothing happened for me. I did it three times, but nothing happened. Well, I just want to say that when we call on the name of the Lord, one of the key points here is it must be out of a pure heart.
Amen.
What is our motivation for calling on the Lord?
Yeah.
If our mother or father or a serving one says, let's call on the Lord three times, and you say, okay, I'm going to call on the Lord two times because he just asked me to. I don't really feel like it's going to do anything, and I'm just checking the box to take so that I don't get into trouble here. I'm pretty sure you won't get the Lord because that's not what we're seeking. You know, when the alarm goes off at my house, I get up, I go downstairs, I start cooking. It's not too long before I hear the pitter-patter of feet on the upstairs hallway. And then down the steps, and here comes my little girl, my toddler, who's coming to get daddy. You know, my other children don't come to get daddy, but my toddler does. She wants to get daddy, and she's all over me, right? She's trying to get the person. I'm the person, and I got my shirt and tie on. I got to go do something that's all ironed. And now she's just messing up my ascension. You know what I mean? She's clinging. That verse that says, because you shared about Mary yesterday, stop clinging to me. That's literally. Here she comes to get her daddy. If we come to the Lord in that way, when we call, don't you think he will say, I'm right here.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm right here. If we call in such a way, seeking the Lord, we will get him. So here's another challenge. If you have not enjoyed calling on the name of the Lord, if you feel you have not wrapped your arms around this lovable one, I would encourage you to decide, I'm not leaving this conference until I touch him by calling. And that might sound like a monumental challenge. Like I said, it takes the believing. And it takes the exercise of your will, but give yourself 5 minutes alone and seek him with a pure heart and call. Just like we sang in this song, it says, call his name and he becomes reality. Open up your mouth and you will see. We are three parts. There's something here in our mouth that connects to our spirit. It's mystical. Don't ask me to find a verse that says it, but we see it everywhere, that when we exercise our mouth, our tongue, and we choose the Lord, we get life, right? There are many verses that talk like this, but there's a connection between opening our mouth and contacting the Lord. I just really want to leave us with this burden, that we would be those who seek the Lord in such a way, right? Like Mary, to get him, right? And in calling, the other thing that happens with calling is we get saved.
Yes.
You might say, I'm already saved, right? I got saved on what date? What year? I know I got baptized July 21st, 1985. I got a Bible with that date written in it. I actually got saved the week before. Then they baptized me the following week out in Hill City, Kansas, Western Kansas, windswept, wheat-growing country. My grandparents lived there. So I got saved, and it was wonderful. It was glorious. And so when I met the brothers, and they were calling, oh, Lord Jesus, and I wasn't really into it, I didn't really do it. But anyways, nevertheless, I was in the fellowship with the brothers, and it was good, and we were reading the Genesis life studies and all that stuff. And then one morning, I was driving my mom's van, and I had a little experience in here. I can't really explain it too much. I don't want to get mystical. But anyways, I had some intuition about something. So I'm driving my mom's van every day, same path to work. I worked at Albertsons in the fish department selling fish. You know, it's a fun job. And I come up to the 5 intersection road. It's a major arterial. Cars are zip, zip, zip back and forth on this arterial. And there's a car getting ready to pull off and come down the road that I'm driving up. And I always, every day, because you have to look back over your shoulder like this, so you always come forward, further forward than you should. Every day, I always pass the white line. I had a little sense inside of my spirit. Don't pull all the way up. I don't know why, but I just didn't pull all the way up. But I had a sense, some kind of intuition, for no real reason at all that I can identify. Enjoying the Lord, stopped the car at the white line. And I just waited for a moment there. And the next thing I know, this car that's trying to turn left comes across and gets whacked at like 45 miles an hour by another car. And you know what happens in like these kind of situations is your whole world slows down. It's all in slow motion. I don't know why that happens, but something's like you are heightened senses. And that car is spinning like this, heading right towards my car, like this, spinning, and then my bumper, now this is the real distance. My bumper's like this, the bumper went like this. I mean, it was like, oh, and it was like, oh, Lord Jesus. And I called on the name of the Lord. I got saved. I didn't argue with the brothers anymore. Because when, as Brother Ed Marks always says, when you are going over Niagara Falls in a barrel, you do not pray doctrinal prayers. You just call on the Lord. So anyways, that's what I did. And I touched the Lord, thankfully. A few minutes later, my mom drives by and she sees, you know, all the emergency vehicles and she's panicked, you know. But anyways, we have a spirit. God has made us in such an amazing way with a capacity the brothers are going to get into this. I don't even want to get into it, but our conscience, when we have a conscience void of offense, we have fellowship with God and we can know things. We have intuition about things. That is the function of our spirit. But our emphasis today is that our will is so critical. I just want to read one verse before I sit down. And that is Song of Songs. So if you have your Old Testament with you, I'd like to turn to it. Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 4. Hallelujah. Okay, everyone got it there? Okay, before I read it, I just want to say something. This is Song of Songs, and this book is written about two lovers, right? The Lord is the beloved, and he has a lover. And of course, this is an allegory of Christ and the church, okay? But in this verse, the Lord is telling this seeker something. So let's read it together. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built for an armory. 1,000 bucklers hang on it, all the shields of the mighty men. So it's interesting. He says your neck is like a tower, right? And that tower, the Tower of David, built for an armory. Does anyone know what an armory is? Hands? What's an armory? Exactly. An armory is a place where you store weapons. So even in the colonial days, they had an armory where all the muskets were stored, right? So if there was ever a need to defend the city, you went and got your musket from the armory and you could defend it. So here, he says, your neck is like a tower of David, like the tower to, built for an armory, for defense. Actually, you know, the Israelites were often called a stiff-necked generation, stubborn, stiff-necked. That relates to the will. Here, her neck, she's not stubborn, right, like us. Her neck is a tower for defense, right? Not only so, it's an armory. It's where the weapons are stored to fight the battle. So how important it is that we would be those who learn it as young people to execute, to exercise our will, to stand for the Lord. This gets more into the dominion part, right? We talked about image and expression. This is on the dominion and representing the Lord. And that there's much more to come. We don't want to share too much about that, but I want to point that out. May we be those who learn how to exercise our will to choose the Lord.
Amen.
Before I sit down, I just want to say one more thing. Recently, we watched a documentary on John Wesley and Charles Wesley. You know, John Wesley was an Anglican minister. He had had a formal training in the scriptures and in the words. And his brother was Charles Wesley. Now, these two boys, they came from not a small family. How big is a big family? Well, he was born in 1702. And at that time, he was in a family of 19 children. Okay? Sounds like a lot, doesn't it? Okay, when he was 6 years old, his house caught on fire. And somebody rescued him in a kind of a miraculous way. He was rescued from the fire at age 6. And his mother realized, you are for God's purpose. I mean, you got saved from that fire. You have great things that the Lord has set out for you. And so, so he was 6 years old. Later on, he said, I was like a brand plucked from the fire. So then, he grows up. He goes to college. He was a smart person, got educated. You know, he was this kind of person. You know, proper facility that the Lord designed, right? Got constituted with the word and had a strong will for the Lord. He got saved eventually because he wasn't saved in the early days. He was kind of like carrying on his ministry, but he wasn't even regenerated yet. It's possible for people to do this kind of stuff. But anyways, he gets regenerated and he begins to have a dynamic life for the Lord. Meanwhile, his brother, who's 18 years old, Charles, also had this, actually he had the experience of the Lord before John, and he kind of encouraged John, you should check this out. It's really great. Jesus, regeneration, it's really great. So, John Wesley was number 15. And Charles was number 18. Now just ask yourself, what would have happened if they'd only had 5 kids? Consider what great gifts to God's body we would not have had with these ones. Now, what did they do? So, eventually, John Wesley went on to minister and preach the gospel. He's credited with 40,000 sermons. 40,000 sermons. It's hard for the brothers to come and prepare to speak 4 messages in the summer school of truth. It's not easy. It's hard to find the time to prepare. 40,000. If you went on to minister for the Lord and you gave one message a day for 109 years, you'd have 40,000 messages. And again, it's not that we need to give 40,000 messages, but the point is, how has God made us? He exercised his will and his function to cooperate with the Lord. Okay, one more thing. He rode the horse to preach the gospel 250,000 miles on horseback. There's no 747, right? He's riding a horse. And meanwhile, Charles was riding the horse too, writing hymns. That was Charles' function. He wrote 6,000 hymns. Many of them are in our hymnal today. But he wrote 6,000 hymns. Can we not memorize this sheet of paper? I mean, I haven't memorized it. So, I mean, I'm speaking to myself too, right? Can we not commit this to our being? I think we can. I think we can commit much more. We have to believe it, and we have to exercise our will and say, Lord, I want you, and I want you to use me however you will use me for your purpose. Okay, I'm going to sit down now.
Amen. Larry, stand up. What's John 10:10?
John 10:10.
Hallelujah. You can sit down now. Good. All right. Somebody stand up. Give me 1 John 5:12. Quickly. Quickly, go. Amen. Somebody give me Ephesians 3:17. Quickly.
Amen.
Good. Why do I ask that? What's the next section here? What is that? Read that. Roman numeral 2. What's that say? Oh, 3. 3. Hallelujah. The Word. My burden, my goal is for you to love the Word.
Amen.
Raise your hand if, you know what? Don't raise your hand. Raise your hand if you love the Word 50% of the time.
At least.
Oh, at least.
At
least. Oh, some hands not even up.
At least.
How about 100% of the time?
Amen.
Do you love the Word 100% of the time? Yes? No? Maybe? Only when it's convenient for you. But we have to maintain. Our brother talked about maintaining life. Do you guys all have life?
Amen.
What is the real life? There's also a review and a test when I speak. So you have the life. You have to maintain the life. If you don't maintain life, what happens to your life? You die in a bad way, not in the good way that we sang. I don't want to die. I don't want to be dead. I got saved for a reason. The Lord died for me for a reason, so I can have life and maintain the life. I don't want to leave the summer school troop like, oh, that was great, next year again. 10 more days, oh Lord. No, you come because you want to maintain this life that you got this whole 10 days.
Amen.
And one way is to exercise your spirit.
Amen.
I hope you got there, my brother. You better exercise your spirit.
Amen.
I'm looking at you, brothers, exercising your foolishness. Not going to point any out, but I've seen some. It's a shame to you and to the Lord. It's a big shame because you should enjoy exercising your spirit. How? It's also by getting to the Word. My Word's in here because the big Bible's too heavy for me. But even though it's in here, you know what else is in? It's in here. Is the Word in here in you? You know, I'm going to give you stories. You guys like stories? You know, when I was in the training, I said, okay, we're going to go door knocking. Yeah. Started door knocking. Woo! First time ever. Goes to my first door ever. See, old guy, he's watching TV, very old, probably 80s. He's like, he hears me, he sees us. Me and two sisters, yeah. And he comes, he opens the door, what? And I'm like, well, you know, we're just Christians around the neighborhood going around talking about Jesus. I feel sorry for you guys. Oh, what? Because he ain't real. Bam! And myself, I was like, listen, old man. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But you know what kept me? The Word. John 15. That word touched me so much in John 15. I want to read that real quick. Let me get to that. This word just stays with me. When these things happen, starting in verse 18, John 15 says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before you. If you were of the world would love his own. Because you are not of the world. But I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Wow. Remember the word which I have said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they have kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you because of my name. Because they do not know him who sent him. I left that door and I was angry. But that word touched me. It's like, you didn't get stoned. He didn't throw a stone at you. I was like, you're right. You know, from that, I was determined to get somebody to talk to me. And I did. I just kept knocking. It's not a burden. The word, right? The word needs to be in us. Romans 10:8, it says, the word is near you, in your mouth. Right? Is the word in your mouth? Say, Lord, make the words in my mouth. I need the words so I can speak the words. Right? So I'm going to read. Hey, the importance of the word of God is to the believers. In order to have spiritual growth, we must know the Bible. Did you guys know there's a verse in the Bible that says, children, obey your parents in all things? In all things. How many things? Louder, louder. Not loud enough. In all things. Oh, boy, you better stick to that word. That's God's word. Don't argue with me. Argue with the word. You know, the word is for us to maintain because I want you to enjoy. Because even times of sorrow, you get joy from the word. You know, recently, my wife's mom's husband's brother passed away. So you guys got that. Well, my wife's mom's husband's brother passed away. Got it? Okay. My wife's mother's husband's brother passed away. So they came up from Georgia, and they was going to have the speaker. I was just taking care of him. He goes, Falon, can you speak? I was like, what do you mean speak? Can you say something? They only speak Spanish. I was like, my wife's Puerto Rican. She's like, don't worry. Your wife would translate. I was like, amen. So they asked me to speak. I was like, what do I share in the Bible when it comes to death? And the Lord says, I have the right verse for you. He said, you share Isaiah 55:8-9, right? It says, God's ways are higher than our ways. So he died tragically. So I just say, Lord, I didn't even know what to share, but I had the words in my mouth. Right. Amen. The words to just speak that. I spoke it as somebody was translating. And I say, but the most important thing, I say, is John 14:6, right? He wants us to get saved, to have life. I say, if you want to get saved right now, just pray after me. So I started praying, and they're translating, and everybody was praying after me. And I said, if you believe what you just pray, you just received the life of God. Amen. And I sat down, and I was like, oh, Lord, you know, and then everything comes in. Why do you say this? And he sits next to me, you know, my wife's husband. He goes, my wife's mother's husband, my wife's husband. And he goes, Falon, that was great. And I said, praise the Lord. Because the word was in me. Amen. I cannot help but speak something from the Bible. If I speak it, it has to be something from the word. Right? The word is what keeps us. It says here, John 14. You know what? Let me touch on practical. I'm a very practical guy, those that know me. I'm very practical in the word and everything else. Why do you need to read the word? Quickly, why do you need to read the word? Because the brothers tell you to. Because your mother said you better read before you go to bed. Do you all love the Lord Jesus? Amen. Yes, right? So if you didn't read the word, how would you know the Lord Jesus? How many Christians, how many believers have you met said, the Lord is telling me to go fight for him? What are you talking about? Yeah, I'm a fighter for Jesus. I was like, can you show me in the Bible, in the 66 books where it says that? Could you show me anything? If we follow the Lord blindly with just our spirit, which you should, without the word, you're going to be going way over here. Yeah. The Bible is for us to see a black and white letters. You want to know the law of the land? Read the words. The speed limit says 25. If you do 26, what happens to you? I hope you don't get stoned. You get a ticket, right? The cop has every right, says, you just went over the speed limit. He said, I went over by 1 mile per hour. They said, the sign says 25 miles per hour. You went 26 miles per hour. So you can argue all you want. You can say, oh, nobody was here. I felt like it was okay. He says, that's good. Here's a ticket. When you read the word, we stand on God's word. You can't argue with God's word. God's word is solid. It's set in stone, as they say. Actually, it was in the Old Testament. He wrote down stones. So we need to realize, wow, Lord, your word is, it should give us so much pleasure and joy. Man shall not live by what? On bread alone, but every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. Did you know the Lord quoted the Bible? He didn't just make that up when I first read it. Oh, that's a great saying. I looked at Crossroads and said, wait, he quoted the Old Testament. He knew the word. That's how he fought Satan. He gave Satan the word back. Don't go by your feelings when you're down. Give the Lord the word that he spoke to you. Lord, they persecute you, so they're going to persecute me. Hallelujah. Amen. It's in my mouth. I know the word. So when we see this, we're not ashamed. Hold on. I got more stuff here. Even right now, you know, during these times, I know when they told me it's 10 days of summer school, I was like, oh, Lord, 10 days. Long time. But you realize when you get into the Spirit and you get into the word, it flies by. How many here have been to every summer school of truth since senior year now? So how many years is that? Six. Can you believe you went through 6 years of summer school of truth? Yes. Because you're there, you know, in the Bible, the Lord brought him out to the mount. And he said, stay here, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. He comes back. They're sleeping. Man, if I was, well, I was like, kick that chair underneath them. The Lord said, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Amen. The spirit is willing. I truly believe you are willing to endure the Lord. Amen. So you need to touch your spirit. Amen. Touch your spirit. Be willing, Lord. I'm willing to get into the word, to touch my spirit. Amen. I don't want to fall for my flesh. My flesh is weak. All our flesh are weak. And the older you get, the more you realize how weak you really are. Trust us. Don't, the brothers will tell you. Have more time with them. So, you know, I thought I was a smart person. I went to school. I got a college degree. But before I got saved, I was not as smart as I thought. You know the Bible makes you wiser? What? All you guys are so lucky. I didn't know the Lord till I was 29 years old. 29! I went to the full-time training, you guys know, in Anaheim. I knew one verse. John 1:1. I was just saved. You guys are way ahead of me at your age. I'm pretty sure. That's all I knew was that one verse. And that got me there to the training. Because it gave me life. I said, you're the beginning, Lord. That means I'm not the beginning. My life is not the beginning. My goal, my career, my everything is not the beginning. And that verse, does it say, in the beginning was God? How does it start? So what was in the beginning first? Does that ever confuse you? I'll say, this is a misprint. Must be. Why, how is that beginning not God? In the beginning was the Word. Amen. Do you want to know how important the Word? That's how important the Word is. John said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word, right? I don't know that verse, but I remember 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is profitable. Right? That's a song, if I'm correct. Do you guys know the hymn? How's it go? You just sang the Bible. You just memorize a verse. You know what the Bible does, right? It makes you wiser. It makes you see things differently. And it makes you appreciate what God has done. When I read the Bible a lot, how many has read through Genesis? You know, when I read the story of Joseph, I cry. I'm a strong man who cries when he reads the story of Joseph. When he turns away from his brothers, oh, how could you not cry? This is his brother who tried to kill him. Get this guy out of here. And he sees he's the ruler of the world. And they're begging him. They don't know. And he has to maintain this right? And I'm like, how does he? And he runs away and he cries, and I'm crying by myself. How? Because God got infused into me. Amen. I'm reading the word, it's being infused. I am sensing the same spirit as Joseph. Yeah. Wow. God is realizing when you read the word, you get something. I don't cry when I read the news so much. Actually, whatever. I read the Bible, I cry when I read the story of the Lord being crucified. Oh, how sad. Yeah. And it's like, oh my. But you realize he had to die for us. Yeah. But when we read the word, do we get the sense that God is being infused into our being? I hope you do. I hope you realize when you read the word, you better have that sense. God is being infused into my being. Yeah. I can pray all day, which is good. You should pray. But I need something with substance. I need to get into the black and white letters. Amen. Not just black and white letters, but he says, the words that I speak are spirit and are life. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the word is your spirit and your life. Don't go a day without reading one verse. Can you do that, one verse? Can you memorize one verse? Can you give yourself 24 hours to memorize one verse? That's easy, right? You have all day, morning to night. Whatever you do, pick one verse. It could be the smallest verse or the long. One verse. You memorize that, right? One day. Like, wow, this sounds good truth. You got so many verses. One day, you take one verse. You go home. 1 John 5:12. I'm going to memorize that verse. Backwards and forwards for 24 hours. How many verses will you memorize after a year? What? 365 verses in a year. Is that possible? I think it is. You take one verse. I was like, Lord, you're making this too easy. I have 24 hours to memorize one single verse? What's wrong with me? How could I not do this? How could I not love your word? It's amazing what the word does. It gives us life, right? 2 Timothy 2:25. In meekness, correcting those who oppose, if perhaps God may give them repentance unto the full knowledge of the truth. Amen. When you go gospel preaching, when I first started gospel preaching, because I love gospel, the only thing I knew how to say was, I got saved. That's it. Jesus is real. And then I met one person, he was like, about the stars, the galaxy, and man is from monkeys and this, and I was like, Jesus is real. But I left and I went, I should know the word. I'm not saying you shouldn't. You should just go preach the gospel, what you have. Yeah. But the Lord says, you need to know the word. So I knew some of the word. Now I was confident. I know some of the word. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I have a spirit. Amen. John 4:24, God is spirit. Amen. Yes, I can save somebody. So I met a Christian. And he was a Seventh-day Adventist. And I got killed. They knew the word more than me. And I was like, Lord, I don't know enough of the word. So I got back and I said, I'm going to know the words. So I read through the whole New Testament. And I focused on those verses. And the Lord says, now you just gained me. So the next day, I forgot everything. But I gained something of the Lord that day. So as I'm going, I want to impress you with that. Even if you don't think you know the word, it comes back to you. Absolutely. I can't find that verse. It comes back to you. His word does not return void. Right. You think you're not gaining something, but you do. 2 years in the training, I went gospel preaching. I never went gospel preaching my whole life until I was in the full-time training. Knew one verse. My gospel partner was so angry at me because he talked the whole time. So my fourth term, as I went gospel preaching, I just started speaking. I don't know where the words came from. I just knew how to speak. I knew to say this. I said, no, that's not correct. I say, according to the Bible. And we were done. I was like, and my GP goes, gospel goes, how'd you know that? I said, I don't know. I just been in the word. Amen. I was maintaining my joy. I was maintaining a strong spirit. So for all you, be encouraged. You should love the word. Forget about you have to. Don't make the word a have to anymore. Write that. The word is not a have to. Amen. The word is a joy.
Amen.
I read the word because I love the word. Amen. I love the word because I get God into me. Amen. And when I get God into me, I fulfill God's eternal plan. Amen. That's what we talked about the first night, right? Everything's not just for you. It's for God's eternal plan. That's what we're living for. If I didn't see that in the Bible, I would never believe it. There's so many people showing me about the Bible. You know, you have to be saved. You have to be baptized to be saved. What? Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. What do you say to that? It's right there, black and white letters. If you don't get baptized, you're not saved. I was stumped. Then I looked it up. I said, oh, yeah, you didn't read the rest of the verse. The rest of the verse says, he who does not believe is condemned already. It doesn't add baptize there. That's why you need to know the word. Amen. Don't say, well, let me look at. If you have it already in your being, you would say, no, brother. The word says, only believe you will be condemned. But you need to get baptized. It's good for your salvation, second step. But the whole point is, you get into the word. Do you love the word? I want you to love the word. Amen. Love the word like I need this water right now. You know how much I love this right now? But nothing compares to the word. I can't live without God. I can't live without reading his word. I have a wife and kids. I need the word. The brothers are laughing. They know. We need it. I need to get refreshed. I have people over my house all the time. I need the word. The Lord says, you need to take care of them because you love them. Do you not love them? I say, yes, I do. Then you better take care of them. Inconvenience, but I love them, and the word nourishes me. You can't go without the word. How many, okay, I don't want to get that. I can't ask no more. But, you know, the word is something that if you take it as just black and white history book. I know many people that say, I read the whole Bible. They're not even saved. How is that possible? How could you read the whole Bible and not get saved? The guy said, I read the Bible 3 times. We was passing out Bibles again. He said, 3 times. He goes, and he took us. I go, oh, you'll believe? He goes, oh, no, this is just a fairy tale. And he took off on his bike. And everybody's with me. I said, I'm just going to let him go. But if you read it that way, you'll never get saved. Even as believers, if you don't touch your spirit, that word means nothing to you. It's black and white. It's vapor. It's gone. You touch your spirit and you get into the word, you get life. Amen. You get something to share with your friends. Who wants to save their friends? Amen. Everybody's hands should go up. Save your friends. Amen. They're not a stranger. You ever try to go up to a stranger? That's hard with the word. You could go up to your friends and talk about anything. Say, hey, what's going on? Oh, yeah. I said, some school of truth, what's that? We got into the word. I memorized a verse. Hold on, let me see if I memorize it to you. Can you say that to them? Why not? Here, take my Bible, see if I got this verse right. Yeah. Wow. Right? Say, I'm gonna, like, did I get it right? Oh. Then you say, oh, man, you know what's interesting? That verse right there, I have come, right? Satan comes to kill, destroy. He comes to have life. We found out life, there's 3 words for life. Da, 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 da. He's your friend. Yeah. After he said, let's go play basketball. I said, okay, that's it. But you gave him something of the word. Amen. I'm helping you guys out here. Write this down. You should write this down. Help you get into your friends through the word. All these things. You know, especially these seniors. You have 1 more year, right? 1 more year. Oh, you're going to go to college. College, big boy. Big stuff. You're going to hear so many different other words. Yes. Even right now, you guys hear so many different other words. Yes. The brothers were getting into that. But you know, you need to stand on God's word. Amen. Stand on God's word, right? Amen. Stand on his word here, what it does. Okay, the essence of the word, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, of God is being life to the believers. Hallelujah. You have life, and you need more life. So these are, now go all the way to D, the last part. I'm going to go with this. Using our spirit to receive the spirit and life from the word of God. 1, by prayer reading. 2, by reading. 3, by studying. 4, by memorizing. All right, so I have 1 minute left. Oh, time goes by. So remember this. Get into the word. Pray, read the word. Read the word. Study the word. Memorize the word. Because then God fills you. And then you will have no fear. You will have no fear when you realize God's word is in you. You will have no lack because God's word is in you. You will not be afraid to go anywhere. You say, I have the triune God in me, and I know his words. So when somebody says something contrary to the word, you say, no, that's not correct. That is not correct because I know what God says.
Amen.
Can you be confident and say, I know what God says?
Amen.
We need to get to that point, even at your age, says, I know what God says.
Amen.
I don't care what you say.
Right.
I know the facts. God's word does not change.
Amen.
The human laws change. People vote. They protest. Protest God all you want. His word does not change.
Amen.
And when it's in your heart, you have so much confidence to speak the word. You say, I'm going to give you something of life. Take it.
Amen.
Receive it.
Amen.
Enjoy it.
Amen.
I got to go. So hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, young ones. Oh, how about we share some prayer, or is it time to go?
Pray.
Let's pray. Amen.
Let's pray together.
Pray together.
One sentence prayer.